turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And to give honor to God and His holy word, let's stand together. We'll be reading verses 1 through 8. This is God's holy and infallible word. Verse 1. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain, but after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid much opposition. For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority, but we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children, having so fond an affection for you. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. Let's pray. Our beloved Lord, we ask your blessing upon this, your word, that you would help us to receive and believe and understand your holy word, that we would believe upon Jesus Christ, but that you would help us to follow after godly examples that you have given us in your holy scriptures. Help us to do this in a way that's pleasing your sight. Bless us as we hear your word, and Lord, help me to speak with clarity of speech and of mind. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. When you have an artist who's chiseling a statue, maybe it's a man out of stone, he's usually using a model. Or if you have someone who's carving a model, he also will use a model if he's carving something out of wood. Now, what's interesting is that if you're into art in the modern era, very few people have individuals that they can pay to stand there in one particular position for hours while doing this work. And I imagine if you had money, it would be kind of hard to afford that. But someone has come up with this idea of using little wooden mannequins. And you have these little wooden mannequins that you can pose in a certain position. And those little wooden mannequins can be used as your model of how you want to either carve or chisel out your model. Now, if you had somebody who was so absolutely brilliant that they could not even use a physical model, but use something in their own mind to make that statue, then you're still using a model, because the model is in the head. That maybe someone with a three-dimensional image in their own mind, they could use that as a model. Now, this is a long way to kind of say that, you know, if you're going to make something as a masterpiece, you need a model. Well, Scripture teaches that we ought to also model our lives by using what we would call an exemplar. An exemplar is an example that you are to imitate. So an exemplar model could be either a thing or a person. But in Scripture, we find that there are exemplars that are persons that we are to imitate in our life to then mold our lives in a way that's pleasing in God's sight. Now, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, these are the authors of this epistle, and they gave thanks to God for this fledgling church. And if you look back at chapter 1, verse 1, 6, and 7, they said this: "You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." So their models were these three authors, Timothy, Silvanus, and Paul, but especially Jesus Christ. They were modeling him and how that they were ought to live. And they, in turn, became as examples for the church in Macedonia and Achaia and how they were to model their lives. So as we look at today's text, I want us to focus on the main point of imitating worthy exemplars. We are to imitate worthy exemplars. And the first main point is, who are worthy exemplars? And secondly, imitate the attributes of Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. So let's look at this first main point. Who are worthy exemplars? Again, an exemplar is an example or an ideal person that we ought to model after. The ultimate example is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the ultimate example to follow. In verse 2 of this chapter, it mentions that the authors had suffered mistreatment in Philippi before they came to Thessalonica. Now, getting back to Philippi, that was a church that ended up having problems. The main particular problem in that church was that Paul wrote of in Philippians 4:2 was a division among two individuals, two ladies in the congregation. Philippians 4:2 says this: "I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord." Can you imagine a church where you got two ladies that are at such odds with one another and such opposition that you'd have to get the apostle Paul to write a little rebuke in the epistle? I mean, they must have been causing some kind of stir. It wasn't a little disagreement. This was like an ongoing thing that was, it was a trouble for the church. And that's why, keep your place in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, but that's why we want to look at Philippians chapter 2. So Paul's dealing with a church with division and two ladies who are at odds with one another. How do you solve it? The answer is imitate the Lord Jesus. Look at Philippians 2, starting at verse 1. "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." I might as well read a little further. "For this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." That's a good answer for two ladies in the church that are having a bit of a spat, a bit of a fight. imitate Jesus. Imitate Jesus, who, even though he was God himself in the person, God and man, he came upon this earth and took upon himself the form of a servant. Worshipped by angels, seated in the glories of heaven, but he humbled himself. He even washed the feet of his disciples. Imitate this humble Lord Jesus. That's a good answer. So again, this is a passage that teaches us that we are to imitate the Lord Jesus. Now, I always thought over and over about this, that even in the day when people used to wear a little bracelet, it was real popular, I guess in the late 80s, 90s maybe, what would Jesus do bracelets? What would Jesus do? Well, there's only a measure in which you can imitate and do what Jesus would have done. One example is that if you're dealing with someone who you're having a problem with, if you were Jesus, you could analyze their thoughts. Because you were God, you could read their mind and know what they were thinking and then make your decision of what to say next based upon what's going on in their head. We can't do that. So we can't always do what Jesus did. We can't raise the dead like Jesus did. We can pray for God to work in the hearts and minds of people, but we can't do always what Jesus did. But we can imitate him in principle, as is mentioned in Philippians 2 and in other passages. You are to imitate also godly examples in Scripture. There are many Old Testament saints that are examples or exemplars unto us. Remember, the entire chapter of Hebrews 11 is a hall of faith of those who had triumphed by faith, and you are to imitate all of these numerous Old Testament examples. However, the chief example, according to Hebrews 12:2, it's concluded that we are to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. As we read through 1 Thessalonians 1:1 again, you remember the three authors of Thessalonians, the first and second epistles, they are saying and commending the church because they imitated them as well as imitated the Lord Jesus. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." 1 Corinthians 11:1. You can imitate those who imitate Jesus, in as far as in whatever godly way they imitate the Lord Jesus. There are exemplars throughout church history. Martin Luther, for example, was a great example of somebody who stood up even in the midst of danger, even in the midst of his life being threatened. Martin Luther. You can use Christian martyrs as examples or exemplars as well. In more modern church history, we can look at Dr. J. Gresham Machen as an exemplar for one who stood up against liberal Christianity and promoted orthodox, true Bible-believing Christianity. What about modern-day saints in the church? I believe there are people in the modern church you can imitate. I will never forget one of the first places I lived after I graduated college was in the home of the Sam Buckner family. They were living in Opelousas, and I stayed in their second-story apartment while I was going to church with them. And I had to witness how they had disciplined their kids. And one, they stressed first-time obedience. Two, they never spanked in anger. The dad never screamed and yelled, and you never saw him gritting his teeth or anything like that, but he always was patient and kind, yet the kids were, they knew what they were getting into. But they never had to look at him and question whether or not he was angry or not. He was patient and kind, and there was a lot of fruit in those kids. This brother who's now, I believe, an elder in the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church, was an exemplar to me. There are other exemplars, even in this church, of patience and kindness and gentleness and love. Imitate those who are imitating God's graces, who demonstrate fruit of the Holy Spirit. In today's text, he's saying that we are to, I believe, imitate the attributes of these godly men, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. Look at verse 2. It says that these men had a willingness to suffer for the kingdom of God. Verse 2. But after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid much opposition. Now, you remember the whole incident of why they suffered in Philippi, the incident when they were in prison for preaching the gospel. But the good news of the gospel is that they were able to witness to the Philippian jailer, who himself believed the gospel and repented, and him and his whole household were baptized and brought into the church. But still, they had to be put in stocks for a time, and they were mistreated in Philippi. Now, some people might say, well, man, that was such a hard time being in prison. I don't know if I want to do it again. Well, after Philippi, they went on to the church here in Thessalonica. And again, they were threatened, and Paul and Silvanus and Timothy had to flee the house of Jason before the door was broken down by some wicked men that were hired by the Jews in that city. Again, you could look at Acts chapter 17 for example of how that came to be. Another thing mentioned in verse 2 that we ought to imitate is the boldness of these men. These men had a boldness to speak the gospel. Now, even though not everyone is called to be preachers of the gospel, each of us are called to be witnesses of the gospel. And I believe the thing that we should do here is that we should imitate the boldness here to at least be able to witness and talk to others about Jesus Christ, to witness of Christ. An example of this is in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, you remember the Jewish council tells John and Peter, and they say, do not speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 18. But their boldness was as such, as they said, is it better for us? Is it fitting for us to obey God or men? You decide. We're going to obey God. And we're not going to listen to the magistrate or even the ruler of our people or even the Jewish council if they say, don't talk about this Jesus. Because the mandate to speak of Jesus comes before what this council would say. And then after they departed and they were let go, they go and meet their companions, and they prayed. They prayed for this. This is Acts 4:29. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. I believe some translations say boldness. To speak or to talk to others or to witness the word of God with confidence, I believe, is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it's something we ought to pray for. And we ought to imitate the boldness of not only these three men in 2 Thessalonians, but we also should imitate the godly apostles. Like Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, our text this evening also tells us that we are to be those who talk to others about Christ, not pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. Verse 4. If you're talking to others about Christ, your focus is not to please men, but to glorify God. You've probably heard people say, you know, you be nice. You always have to be nice. Well, sometimes, if you want to please men, one of the things that you're not going to always please men is by saying that they're a sinner that needs to repent and believe in Jesus. But you know what? Sometimes you have to really say that anyway. Is it better to please men and let them go to hell? Or is it better to witness the truth of what the Bible says, that sinners, unless they believe in Jesus Christ, they have no hope and they will suffer and die and go to hell for all eternity? So say what is true rather than pleasing men. It says here that they avoided flattering speech. I think that's one thing that we should imitate in these men. You don't try to flatter someone into the kingdom. You're so handsome. You're so intelligent. We need someone just like you in our church. Our church would really be great if you could come. You know, you flatter them into the kingdom. That's not what is the way that we bring people into the church. I mean, there is a place for flattery, and I believe if you're alone with your spouse, you want to use flattering words to your husband or your wife. But that's not the place in witnessing the gospel, is to use flattery to try to bring them into the kingdom. You should imitate how Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy were lovers of God and his people rather than lovers of money. Verse 5. He said they did not have a pretext for greed. God is witness. They were not in the ministry for the money. And I don't believe any of the apostles or anyone in the early church got rich by preaching the gospel. It says that the apostles are given as exemplars who sought to glorify God rather than seek glory from men. Look at verse 6. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. Now, this verse, chapter 2, verse 6, I believe is one of the key verses that kind of seems to indicate that this epistle seems to be written mostly from the apostle Paul, and less from Silvanus and Timothy. They probably helped him. But here, he's exciting the example of the apostles as examples. Silvanus was not an apostle. Timothy was not an apostle. So I think this could be an argument why maybe the epistle was written more so by Paul and less by these men. They were more so helpers, maybe serving as scribes of some sort. Humility is another trait mentioned in verse 6. These apostles, even though they had authority, they did not exert their authority to the nth degree. They had the right to exert their authority, but they didn't. That's a sign of humility. Because if you have a proud person, he is going to exert his authority to the max possible degree because he can do that, and he likes doing that. It makes him feel good. But not the case with these men. Even though you have authority, don't exercise it to the point because you want to puff yourself up. But you have to exercise it as necessary. You should also imitate the gentleness and tender love of these men that's mentioned here in verses 7 and 8. But we prove to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so found an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. These men who cared for the church in Thessalonica cared for the church with the same degree of love and tenderness that a nursing mother cared for little children. That's pretty sweet. That's pretty kind. That's pretty gentle. Now, how does this fit with church leaders who are called unto masculinity? Men are called to be leaders in their homes. Men are called to be protectors and providers. Men are called to be those who take responsibility. The buck stops here. In other words, if things don't go well in my household or my family, the dad should not shift the blame to the wife and kids, but the dad takes his responsibility for himself. He takes the blame. But beside this mandate for masculinity, we have these men of God showing tender, loving care in the church. Gentle, kind, peaceable, loving. I think you can be masculine, but also you can be caring. And especially when dealing with the souls of men, women, and children, you don't want to run roughshod over people. You have to be kind and gentle and sometimes persuasive. Not just exercising your authority just because you can, but gentle and peaceable. These are traits that I think we should imitate, not just for those who are church leaders, but even parents and fathers in our households. Even mothers can be kind and gentle with their children rather than being harsh and saying, well, obey me or else, you know, be persuasive. Again, the calling in tonight's text is that we are to imitate worthy exemplars, worthy examples. Who are worthy examples? The ultimate is Jesus. Imitate Jesus in whatever way that you can, in his humility, in his taking upon the form of a servant. Serve others. Just as Jesus served, you can serve. Also imitate the godly men mentioned in this text tonight. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. Imitate the apostles. Imitate those throughout church history. Imitate modern-day Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who exercise love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control, boldness, like we saw in today's text as well. But the one thing you must do is you must imitate those who follow after and believe the gospel. You will not be saved from the wrath to come by being a godly example to others. You will only be saved from the wrath to come by believing that Jesus Christ has suffered and died for your sins, that he was raised for your justification, and that he is seated at God's right hand as your intermediary, that through Jesus Christ you are both forgiven of your sins and that you are made righteous in God's sight through the obedience of Christ given to you by faith. But then what follows after that is that walk of sanctification whereby we seek to imitate those who are imitating Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. We ask our glorious Lord that you help us to be those who receive and believe your holy gospel, but also that we imitate those who imitate our blessed Lord Jesus, whom you gave as a sacrifice for our sins, but also that you gave as our supreme example that we are to follow. Help us to follow him. Help us to follow the other good, godly examples that you have raised up throughout the church history, but also even in our community and throughout our nation. And even through other nations. Help us to be those who mold and make ourselves in a way that is pleasing in your sight. And help us to use these things and remember and apply this your word. For we ask it all in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. For our closing hymn, let's turn to 254, Let All Things Now Living.